If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com. I got my bags packed on a roll. I'm heading out there and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 595. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about German settlers, a zoo, a movie palace, a science museum, markets, and Ohio State football as we go to Columbus and Central Ohio. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. This is going to be the second of five shows in a row on the United States. It's odd the way these lined up. We did a number of shows on remote destination, and now we're going to be going through a run of shows on the United States. And just in time for this to come out on President's Weekend is Ohio, the home for seven different United States presidents. So let's talk about Ohio. I'd like to welcome to the show Matthew Caracciolo, who's coming to talk to us about Columbus, Ohio. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I started to say you were coming to us from Columbus, Ohio, which I think is also true.
Yes.
Okay. And why Columbus?
I mean, I know Columbus isn't a very obvious choice for most people, but I think the two words that come to mind are variety and value.
Okay.
There's a surprising variety of things to do, both within the city and a hour and a half to 2 hour radius in any direction around the city. More things than you would think would be possible in a place like Ohio.
Now, if we go in a 2 hour radius from Columbus, have we pretty much hit all of Ohio in a 2 hour radius?
Almost, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cincinnati and Cleveland are a little farther
away
than that.
Yep.
I say 2 hours mostly to include Cedar Point.
Okay.
That's really the only outlier. An hour and a half is going to get you everything else.
Okay. And we have talked somewhat about Ohio before, not Columbus, but if you're looking for other episodes, I know we've done one on Northern Ohio. In fact, I think we covered Cedar Point in that one. And then we've also talked, I think, about Cincinnati. And I think those are the two I can think about Columbus. If people want to use this one as a companion episode with those, what do you recommend we do when we come to Columbus?
Columbus is good for a couple of things. So if you are coming with a family, the big attraction is the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, which is huge. It's much larger than most zoos you've probably been to. And it also has a water park. So it is popular to do a 2 day trip only for the zoo and the water park.
Now, do I do the water park with the animals from the zoo?
Unfortunately not. That would be something, wouldn't it?
That would be cool. Well, depending on the animals, I suppose, at this point. And you say it's a big zoo, but I think when you were pitching to me, you said it is one of the largest zoos in the U.S.?
It is one of the largest urban zoos in the U.S. It's also the number one zoo in the country, rated by USA Travel Guide.
And that I didn't know.
San Diego Zoo is the popular number one zoo in the country idea. But just to give you some idea, I believe the San Diego Zoo is something like $40 a person, which is a little steep.
Mm-hmm.
Columbus Zoo is $20 a person, and it's huge. So my favorite part of the zoo is, well, I mean, it's all nice, but the newest section called Heart of Africa. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those attractions where there's one enclosure with an animal, then you move on to one enclosure with another animal. There is a vast savanna.
Okay.
It bumps up into this wood's edge, and they actually built a hill in the very back to hide a development behind it. So it looks like you're out in the middle of Africa. I even had a South African friend come visit us last summer, and she was kind of skeptical, like, okay, whatever you say, it looks like Africa. And then she came and she's like, well, that's about how it works. These animals come out of the woods and they're 50 yards away. So it's really interesting the way they've developed that.
Excellent. Anything else we want to say about what you should do or see at the zoo before we move on to your next attraction?
The next most famous area probably is the Polar Frontier. section, which is where the polar bears are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And a year ago, we had a famous polar bear cub. Well, famous to Columbus anyway. We love our zoo animals. We know them by name. Nora, I think, got some national attention because her mom did not raise her. And she rejected her at birth. And so she was hand-reared by the zookeepers. And she was adorable and she loved people. And the polar bear exhibit is huge. And it's also set up for underwater viewing. So the polar bears are swimming around. You can really be inches away from them as they swim. Or under them, actually, which is kind of cool. There's two polar bear cubs there now. Actually, three. And they're also adorable. They're about a year old. And they're a lot of fun to watch.
Cool. Yes, that's probably the obvious adjective to use. Excellent. What else should we do in Columbus?
Sure. So if we are operating on a one-week itinerary in the central Ohio area, I would say if you're into animals in a water park, spend 2 days doing the Columbus Zoo in Zumbezi Bay. That's the name of the water park.
Okay.
Do another 2 days just in town, exploring the neighborhoods, doing what else there is to offer in the city. And then another 2 or 3 days for side trips, depending on what you like to do.
Okay.
And we'll get into that later. We can stick to Columbus for now.
Sounds good.
I'm going to start south and move my way north in the central city. So we'll start in German Village. So German Village is just south of downtown. And it's this very large historic village that has kept its brick roads. It was one of the first ethnic enclaves within the city. By the Germans, obviously. And it's good for a stroll. It's good for stopping in a coffee shop, or obviously there's some good German food. There's also some other great restaurants. My favorite place to stop there is the Book Loft. The building stock in this neighborhood's about 170 years old, give or take. And the Book Loft is in one of those older buildings. Just every hallway, every room possible. It's just stuffed to the brim with books, every genre you can think of. So it's good for just kind of wandering and getting lost in.
Well, and we should say you're a freelance writer, so the love for books comes naturally.
Yes, yes, it does. And right next door, actually, is my favorite coffee place in the city called Stoff's Coffee.
Okay.
So grab a book and then move over next door, grab some coffee, and get to reading. As far as German food, there's kind of two places that pop out. So Schmitz is a local institution. They've been around for decades. Famous for their sausages. And then actually my favorite is called Walter's. Very old world. You walk in, there's a pretty simple but interesting beer selection. I've never had bad food there. It's a bit more low-key than Schmitz. Schmitz is the kind of place that you might go with a large group, and it's a little bit more oompa. Okay. Walter's is a little bit more subdued. So that's German Village, good for walking around. There's also Schiller Park in there. Going up north, you head into downtown. So in downtown, there's the State House. It doesn't have the dome that you would think of when you think of state capitol buildings or the national capitol. It's got a cupola, so it looks a little unique. They offer free tours throughout the week. I believe every hour on the hour for some part of the day.
Now, it looks like a regular capitol building that someone stole the cupola. I mean, it really looks like it used to have a dome, or they were planning a dome at some point. It's unusual that way.
It is, yes. Just across the street from the State House is the Ohio Theater. It's this 1928 movie house that in the 60s people of Columbus saved from demolition, and now it's the home of, you know, the symphony and kind of a lot of the performing arts, visiting Broadway shows, that sort of thing. If you're coming in the summer, which is a great time to come to Columbus. The Ohio Theater does a summer movie series, old classic movies. Maybe the newest one they would show is Indiana Jones or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just cool to go to this very elegant Spanish-style theater and see movies that, when it was first opened, this is the way people saw movies. It's this very big, elegant theater. There's an organ. Someone plays the organ to start off the movie. They might show some Looney Tunes cartoons start off. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So really a movie palace here.
Movie palace, okay. Yes.
Yeah. And you mentioned coming in the summer because of the best weather, or best because more activities?
The summer is fine. Plenty warm. Might be a little humid, but there's definitely festival or three every weekend. I mean, it's just chock full of things to do. Outdoor movies, little community festivals or big festivals on the river, Jazz and Ribs Fest, the Columbus Arts Festival, the Food Truck Festival. They take over the riverside. So those are all things that you would want to do in the summer.
And you say the riverside, what river runs through Columbus?
Yeah, so this is the Scioto River. Not a huge river.
Okay.
But there is parkland along pretty much all of it when you're in downtown. There is a section of it called the Scioto Mile, where there's, you know, some swinging chairs. There is a swanky restaurant, and next to that are some kind of play fountains for kids to wet in. It has a whole schedule of events on its own. It's a good place to be in the summer.
And you say swinging chairs. These are hanging from what?
Some kind of plastic contraption. Not from trees or anything like
that. They're hanging like swings, but they're chairs, not swings.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it. It's an audio show, and we'll have a picture of this by the time people see it, but I don't have a picture yet, so okay.
Then across the river is COSI, which stands for the Center of Science and Industry. So it's our science museum. It's also highly rated as far as science museums go. They recently got a dinosaur gallery courtesy of the American Museum of Natural History, so that's a new permanent addition.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Which we're excited about. Something cool to do at COSI is, maybe you're not coming with kids, maybe if it's adults only, once a month, I believe the second Thursday of every month, there's a program called COSI After Dark, where there's no kids allowed, adults only, there's alcohol, and you get to enjoy the science museum without the burden of having kids wanting to do everything.
Okay. Without the school groups overwhelming it.
Right, right. And there's usually some kind of theme to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Sports, Star Wars, something like that. I went to a sports theme night, and there was a big obstacle course, inflatable obstacle course.
Okay.
There was like a 40-yard dash just to see how slow you are compared to professional athletes. You do the dash, and then you see what Ezekiel Elliott ran the 40-yard dash. Like, oh, man, there's no way. No way I could do that. Moving a little bit further north, so the north side of downtown, there is two neighborhoods right next to each other. There's the Arena District, which is where Nationwide Arena is. That's where the Blue Jackets play. That's our NHL team.
So hockey team for those who are not hockey fans.
Blue Jackets is an homage to Ohio's Civil War history. So Ohio sent more troops to the Union Army than any other state in the Union. So the Blue Jackets is referring to the uniform. In the arena, there's an old Civil War style cannon. And whenever the Blue Jackets score, the cannon goes off and it freaks out people that aren't ready for the cannon, unaware that the cannon's going to go off. So that's fun. And then a couple blocks away from the arena is my favorite place to go in Columbus. It's the North Market, you know, old style market indoors with a lot of really great places to eat, great variety. I mean, anything you'd want to eat is in there. You've got Thai, Vietnamese, Indian. There's a popular startup that is now expanding. Actually, there's been a couple that have been incubated in the North Market and expanded through the region. One of them being Hot Chicken Takeover. I believe it was on the Today Show.
Okay.
It was on one of those morning shows. It's unique because a lot of the people they hire are former prisoners. So okay. People that would have difficulty finding employment otherwise. Hot Chicken Takeover gives them a chance at some gainful employment, and they also make some great chicken along the way.
Okay. Kind of like a homeboy bakery down in the LA area. Interesting. And we're talking about what looks to me like Southern style fried chicken. Is there a difference between that in Ohio than there is in further south?
No. So this is spicy fried chicken. I think maybe Nashville style.
Okay. Got it. Interesting.
And you can select how spicy you want your chicken to be. I'm not a very spice tolerant person, so I go for the mild version.
Well, that's what I was curious about, because despite the fact that if you look at a map of the U.S., you would say this was in the eastern half, we would discuss it as being part of the Midwest, because it used to be western U.S. years ago, obviously, and the Midwest not known for spicy hot food.
Right, right.
At least historically. I think that's changing a bit, but...
Yeah, and that's going back to the variety that I was mentioning before about Columbus. We are definitely not hurting for food around here. We have a lot of variety of places to eat. Some of that stems from Ohio State being such a draw for international students, and they just end up staying here. Mm-hmm. It's a bit more diverse than you would imagine a city in the middle of Ohio being, and that's represented in the North Market.
Okay. Another favorite place you would recommend in the North Market?
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Jenny's Ice Cream.
Okay.
So Jenny's Ice Cream started in the North Market and now is becoming a national brand. She's got several locations in the city, but I know it's expanded to Chicago and Charleston, South Carolina, I know has one. And you can buy pints of Jenny's Ice Cream at gourmet or specialty grocery stores around the country. The flavors are all pretty unique. There's no plain vanilla. There might be some kind of vanilla bean something or other that's pretty close, but it's all very, very different flavors that you would never get anywhere else. My favorite is brown butter almond brittle.
I'm just trying to parse that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you look at some of the names, you're like, I don't know what that means. But luckily they let you taste it. And you can pair two or three together, obviously, and make some interesting combinations. There was a cornbread and peach crumble flavor.
Hmm. There's a churro pint. That one I'm going to try.
It's really incredible. So ice cream lovers should definitely come to Columbus and try Jenny's Ice Cream.
Okay.
One more stop within the city, just north of the Arena District, is the Short North. So this is the artsy district, where they have a gallery hop once a month because there's so many art galleries. It's just along High Street. High Street's the main north-south corridor of Columbus. It cuts through downtown, goes back down to German Village, but it's definitely the main artery of the Short North. So this is where you're going to go if you want to have a more swanky night out, do some boutique shopping. This might surprise some people. It surprised me when I found out, but after New York City and Los Angeles, Columbus is actually the number three city in the country as far as fashion designers.
Really?
At work, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so we're a big fashion center. Some of that stems from the limited brands, which are headquartered here.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yep, yep.
Yeah, but there's also smaller boutiques and other people working. So the Short North is where you're going to want to go and check out some of those places. I'm not a big fashion person myself, but I know some other people are.
Now, you say you're not a big fashion person, but I know that one of your projects recently had fashion in it.
Yeah. So the Columbus Book Project was sort of fashion-based, but I didn't always have to write about the fashion, if that made sense. So maybe I wrote about something in German Village, and in the coffee table book, there is a model wearing something from a local designer at that place in German Village.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Actually, I'll give you one more thing to do in Columbus, in the city proper. So if Columbus is famous for one thing, I suppose it's for being home of the Ohio State University. And it is a very lovely, large campus. And if you're a college football fan or just a football fan in general, you should really tour the football stadium.
Okay.
Ohio Stadium, or we call it the Horseshoe, or the Shoe for short, because it looks like a giant horseshoe. But they offer tours of that. That's kind of cool to go on the field. There's also a modern art museum, or I should say contemporary art museum on campus called the Wexner Center. Les Wexner is actually the CEO of the limited brand. So he's our Andrew Carnegie, if you will. Les Wexner is to Columbus as Andrew Carnegie is to Pittsburgh, as far as philanthropy and having his name on things.
Excellent. Now, one thing you were mentioning, Short North, I had to look up why a neighborhood would be called Short North, because that seems like such an odd name. And I understand that when the city had gone downhill economically, as many major U.S. cities did, and I think many of them are having revivals right now here in the last couple decades. But it was a neighborhood just short of the Central Business District's North End, both physically and economically. So interesting. It was a humble squatter's neighborhood in the 1980s, it said. But I was also interested to see some of the murals that I would see if I went up to that neighborhood.
Yeah, the one that I can think of off the top of my head is the guy in American Gothic.
Yep.
Upside down.
Okay.
Actually, I think the woman's there too. Or maybe the woman is right side up and he's upside down. Something quirky like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yes, there are lots of interesting murals down there.
Excellent. Where to next?
Like I said earlier, pretty much in every direction within an hour and a half or 2 hours if you're trying to get to Cedar Point are some really interesting day trips. Let's go southeast first. Southeast is the Hocking Hills region. So Columbus is kind of the last big city before you get to Appalachia. Like, it really doesn't take long to drive east of here and it starts getting a little hilly. So about an hour to an hour and a half at most, depending on what section of the state park you go to, are some really interesting hikes down there. There's a lot of cool rock formations. Ash Cave is a very interesting one, probably my favorite. It's a recess cave. So it's not actually a cave. It's like a cliffside that kind of cuts into the cliff. So you're under the ground. The cliff is maybe 150 feet tall and you're underneath it.
Okay.
Just from a river ages ago, cutting through the sandstone and washing away this hole in the cliff, if that makes any sense. But it's really pretty down there. There's a lot of woods. Another cool hike down there is the Rock House, which is the only actual cave in the area. We call a lot of things caves down there, but this is in the actual cliffside, is this long room with many entrances.
Okay.
Yeah, also really interesting to see. There's a lot of cabins down there, so if you're thinking you want to spend more time outside and less time in the city, that would be a good place to stay.
Okay.
And while we're over there, I would say due east from Columbus is the wilds. So I know there's a lot of animal-related things on this trip. So if you like animals, Ohio is another good place to be. So the wilds is the largest conservation center in North America. And what it used to be was strip mining land.
Okay.
AEP, local electric company, strip mined the land.
This would have been for coal?
Yes, yes, for coal. And part of the contract was for them to, when they were finished, restore the land to, you know, something like what it used to be. And they didn't really want to spend the resources to do that, so they donated the land, and it became this conservation center. And it's been restored with big grasslands and some woods, and it's a huge area of free-roaming creatures. I like to think of it as Jurassic Park, but with less carnage. Like, you literally go out in these open-air vehicles, and someone drives you, and the animals go wherever they want. The ostriches came up to us and started pecking at the bolts on the Jeep, thinking they were bugs. I guess they're just that stupid, but they do that all the time.
They are that stupid, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's a really interesting thing to do if
so
you
we're
are
not necessarily seeing native Ohio animals, or at least not native here in the last couple millennia.
Right, they kind of span everywhere. There are some North American animals. There's a very large herd of bison, but yeah, mostly they're from Africa or Asia. There's some rhinos, some white. I'm trying to remember if there's more than one species of rhino, but they often have rhino calves. So it's also a kind of a breeding ground for these very endangered creatures, giraffes, zebras, that sort of thing.
You were saying ostriches were dumb. I went to a camel race in Nevada City in Nevada, and they also raced ostriches. And when somebody would fall off the ostrich would just spin around until somebody kind of went out there and calmed it down. Like, didn't know what to do. They've got a brain the size of a peanut, I think. It was probably really bigger than that, but it acts like it's that big.
Sure. The ostrich was definitely the thing that got the closest to the truck. Everything else kind of kept its distance a little bit. A smart animal might.
Yeah, and it looks like they have both the great one-horned Asian rhino as well as the southern white rhino.
There we go. Yep. So a lot of endangered species that really need a place like this for like a safe breeding ground, that sort of thing.
You're catching me by surprise. I wasn't expecting we would be talking about rhinos when talking about Ohio, at least outside the zoo.
The last time I went, it was fun. I wouldn't say we were chasing the rhino, but it did feel like we were following it and not letting it out of our sight. We had to keep to the beaten track, and the rhino was really not having us being around. So it was running away, but back into where the road was going to be heading. So it did really feel like a safari. We're like, okay, let's keep track of this rhino out in the grass. You definitely don't feel like you're in Ohio. Moving away from the east. So Ohio has two very, very good amusement parks. Cedar Point up in the north, which I know you talked about.
Sandusky, I think, right?
Yeah, and Sandusky. I know you talked about that in the Northern Ohio episode. That's about 2 hours and 15 minutes at most from Columbus, but it's still doable in a day. I've done it many times. But southwest, a bit closer to Cincinnati, is Kings Island.
Oh, sure.
It's also a very good amusement park. So Cedar Point has more roller coasters, technically. A lot of really great ones. Kings Island has a little bit less, but it has my favorite roller coaster experience, which is the roller coaster called The Beast, and riding it at night is just amazing. It's awesome.
And The Beast is an old-style roller coaster, am I remembering correctly?
It is, yes. So
a wooden roller coaster.
It is a wooden roller coaster. I believe it's still the world's longest.
Okay.
I mean, it takes a good couple of minutes to ride this. You're on it, and you're like, this is definitely longer than most roller coasters I've been on. It's not just in its own section. It weaves around through these woods, like a forest of its own. So it's not like you're passing other rides or people with their snacks or their hot dogs just watching your ride. You're kind of out on your own in the woods on this rickety old wooden roller coaster, which is fabulous. And to ride it at night is... You can't see anything. It's great.
And you are correct. It is still the longest. When it opened in 1979, it was the tallest, fastest, and longest wooden roller coaster in the world, but has lost two of three of those. But it is 7,359 feet long, so it's a mile and a half, roughly.
There you go. A mile and a half through the woods, probably going 70 miles an hour at night. Yeah, you can't beat it.
Usually they go slower than that on a wooden roller coaster. It just seems that fast because everything is creaking and rattling and shaking, which is the fun of a wooden roller coaster. They're not as smooth, they're not as fast, but they're old style.
Let's suppose that if you're going to Ohio and you want to include one of the amusement parks, another plus of going north to Cedar Point is about halfway between Columbus and Sandusky is Mansfield. And in Mansfield is the Ohio State Reformatory. I should say the former Ohio State Reformatory, this really old prison, very haunted, apparently. When I went, I didn't see anything. But it is famous because it is the filming location of the Shawshank Redemption.
Right.
Yeah. So when you're there doing a tour, there's little displays set up everywhere where they have the shot of the movie of, you know, Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins, where they were standing or sitting, and then you get to be there too and take the picture.
Excellent. Anything else we want to do on our side trips before we start doing some wrap-up questions?
If you wanted to head west to Dayton, so that's about an hour away, there is the National Air Force Museum. It's been a long time since I've been there, but it is, I know, several hangars large of old military aircraft, but also some presidential aircraft, a previous Air Force One. That is free to the public. So that's a pretty cool attraction if you're into aircraft.
Okay.
Yep. And then in that direction is another cool little hiking area called John Bryan State Park or Clifton Gorge. Not very huge, but it's next to a quirky, super liberal little town called Yellow Springs. I would picture a village like this to be, I don't know, somewhere like in Colorado or to some like a little mountain town with organic this and vegan that, but it's in the middle of cornfields, Ohio.
Okay. And then obviously you mentioned Dayton. Two of the best known historic residents of Dayton would be those two guys who invented a flying machine.
Yes, the Wright brothers. So Ohio definitely has a lot of history in flight and space, actually. So Neil Armstrong is from Wapakoneta. John Glenn is from near where the Wilds is in Cambridge. The airport actually in Columbus is now named after John Glenn. So definitely a lot of heritage there.
Okay, excellent. Anything else we want to know about the Columbus area before we start wrapping up?
So we didn't mention East End. So there's kind of two big shopping malls in the Columbus area. If you want to do more shopping other than just the short north, there's the Polaris Fashion Mall up north, which is just your typical enclosed mall. Very nice, but if you're not a shopping person, there's really no reason to go there. Mm-hmm. East End is a little bit more unique. It's indoors and outdoors, set up to look like maybe turn of the century village with a train station that has some unique places to Columbus or Ohio, as well as famous brands that you would find in any mall.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's going to surprise me about Columbus?
The variety of people you'll find here is staggering. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of public places like the Columbus Zoo. You might bump into a large Amish family, and sure. Then right next mm-hmm. to them are going to be a bunch of Somali refugees. Just two groups of people that you would never think to be in the same space on Earth, but here they are in Columbus. After Minneapolis, Columbus is the second largest center of Somali refugee resettlement, which is why you might find them at the Columbus Zoo.
Now, I'm thinking I'm actually more likely to run into somebody who's Somali than somebody who's Amish in Columbus. I think of the Amish region as being a little further east of there.
Yeah, so the Amish country is northeast of here mm-hmm. in Holmes County. That's pretty close to Mansfield. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you were to explore around Mansfield, you might have to drive around an Amish buggy. So about halfway between Columbus and Cleveland. But they do take day trips to the zoo specifically and the water park, but also maybe Kosci and things like that.
So I was born in Ohio, moved away at a very young age, but I lived outside Akron in an area that was near Barberton. That was the guy who invented Blue Tip Match. Ohio Blue Tip Match basically had an estate there, and his two gardeners formed a company that grew flowers that my father worked for years, but they were the Yoder brothers, and they were come from an Amish family where basically when they did a family reunion, some of the people would still come by buggy from that area.
Oh yes, Yoder, that's a very popular Amish last name.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You see it quite a bit. But yeah, so because we have such a variety of people from all over the world because of the Ohio State University mm-hmm. or other reasons, or the people that have just settled here for a long time. Because you have such variety, you have a great variety of food. Like I said earlier, like mm-hmm. pretty much any cuisine that you would want is here, and sometimes in spades. Like there's quite a few Vietnamese places, mm-hmm. and just along the road that I live on, there's three Korean-specific markets. Down the street is also a large Japanese marketplace, operated by the same family. Honda has a big plant about half an hour northwest of Columbus in Marysville. So a lot of Japanese expats come to live specifically in the northwest side of Columbus. Mm-hmm. The one family has this big marketplace that I like to go to. I lived in South Korea for 2 years, and South Korea and Japan are not necessarily identical, but just going to some of these shops, it does bring me back to East Asia. Just the way that they're set up and the smells of the market, that sort of thing.
Excellent. As we get to our last three questions, you're standing in the prettiest spot in Columbus. Where are you standing? What are you looking at?
Downtown, there is a bridge called the Main Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. Not a very exciting name, but it does look kind of unique. It has this inclined arch on it. It crosses between the Scioto Mile and Kosci. So if you're standing on there, there's also a pedestrian places to walk. It's not like you're just on the road, but if you're standing there looking at downtown and all the new parkland, it's really pretty. And actually, there's one bridge before that that has some kind of public art. There are these deer statues situated around the river that it's becoming popular to take your picture next to. So on that bridge is this statue of a deer. It's leaning against the railing, taking in the view of the skyscrapers and the greenery and the river.
Okay, excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say just only in Columbus.
Well, we do like our Ohio State Buckeyes, and we do wear Ohio State things all the time, even if we're going to a non-Ohio State sporting event. So if we go to a crew game, which is our soccer team, I mean, plenty of people also have crew gear, but you're going to find people that forgot their crew gear at home and think, well, Ohio State's close enough. I'll just wear Ohio State. Or that they might do that at the Blue Jackets game, too. It's just kind of the default. I'm here to support the Columbus team. I don't happen to have the shirt on me right now, but I do have an Ohio State hat. I'm going to wear that instead.
Well, and you mentioned that a lot of people in Ohio State gear. There's also just a lot of people going to Ohio State. I don't remember quite how big the school is, but I remember, what is it? 45,800 students. So it's a pretty darn big school. So when it's in session, there's going to be a few students around.
The Horseshoe holds over 100,000 people. I mean, it's one of the
yeah,
biggest.
Yeah, I figured it would be.
Stadiums. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, because you get a few alumni when you're graduating, oh, let's say a quarter of that a year, 10,000 people a year for, I don't know how many years the Ohio State's been around.
Yeah, just
excellent. And if you had to summarize Columbus in three words, or this central Ohio, I'll give you the whole area if you like, what three words would you use?
I would say delicious, diverse, surprising.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Matthew Caracciolo. And Matthew, if people wanted to read something you've written about Columbus, is there someplace we should send them besides your website, which we'll have a link to?
The Columbus Book Project is a series of coffee table books that a group of writers and photographers and fashion designers, really kind of a cool group of artists in the community, put together. And there are two books. We started with the idea of making just one, and we got so much material that we decided to make two. And the website is columbusbookproject.com.
Excellent. And we'll also have a link to Matthew's website in the show notes, because Caracciolo is a little hard to spell. So just look it up there or in the lyrics of this episode. Matthew, thank you so much for pitching Columbus and for coming on the show and sharing with us your love for your hometown.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's been a lot of fun.
In news of the community, the trip to Europe is starting to fill up. There are 11 people on the list, with one more who I know is trying to sign up right now, and we will run out of slots at 16. So if you're interested in coming with the Amateur Traveler trip to Prague, Krakow, and Budapest in September of 2018, you might want to make it over fairly quickly to amateurtraveler.com/Europe2018. I got a follow-up from last week's show on Joshua Tree National Park from Jeff, who was our guest, who said, hey, two follow-ups. I noticed we got to Keys Ranch. We mentioned two restricted areas. We didn't mention the second. The park has several day-use areas, which are sunrise to sunset. Check the park for a map. These are areas around desert water sources. The restriction allows the native wildlife to visit these watering holes without human presence, vital to their survival. The other item we can mention is that the park is doing a 2-year trial on a shuttle bus from both Joshua Tree and 29 Palms visitor centers, with stops at certain locations in the park along the Loop Road. I think the service runs about every 2 hours. They just started January 31st, 2018. Cheers, Jeff. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com. If you have destinations that you would like to hear about, also send those over via email to host@amateurtraveler.com. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/amateurtraveler, or the trip group, amateurtraveler.com/trips. And thanks so much for listening.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Okay, so why do people love my Total Body Bar workouts? Because they work. My clients get an amazing workout and great results. I'm Andrew Rogers, professional dancer and trainer, and my Extend Bar classes are fun, only 30 minutes, and proven to help you get sculpted, lean, and strong. And right now, you can stream my Extend Bar classes for free on the Beachbody On Demand app. See how effective these workouts truly are. Start for free today at beachbody.com.